I did a play called Quartet with an excellent director. Forget what she was called now. I think something Rebecca, but we knew her as Becky Sweet. She was a lovely director. I would never get that part.
Can I tell my most amazed story from that?
Yes.
It was the first night, and I was obviously, I knew the play back to front. I'd watched you all through all the rehearsals. And something very slightly odd happened, but not enough for me to think about it until you told me what you went through. Your battery failed in your hearing aid. I think you did 20 minutes profoundly deaf.
Yes, it was wonderful. And I don't mean I was wonderful, but it was a wonderful experience. Very sweaty, very nervous. But not as terrifying as one would imagine, because I am totally deaf without my hearing aid. But you know, I do lip read a little. But I had this moment, I think you can, where one of the characters passed me, and I had to pat her on the bum. I could feel this was coming up, and I thought, my cue for that is somebody coming from her. And she's facing away from me so that I couldn't rely on reading her lips to know the exact... And because it was a comic moment which relied on the timing of her line and my pat on her bum, I was a bit worried about that, but apparently it never noticed. And apparently it got a tremendous laugh. So that was...
I was deeply impressed because I had no idea when I was watching. You did it. You handled it really well.
That's the thing about timing. You know, people are always saying, "Oh, timing is the important thing." A scene has got a timing. It's got a rhythm. It's got a metronome, and you get that metronome. And perhaps because I'm deaf, perhaps I rely on that metronome more. Because I can't rely on my hearing. I might not hear the cue. And there's obviously an innate rhythm.
Yeah.
So it was the rhythm of that speech and the pat on the bum that was
that worked. Yeah. I think it's marvellous.
Yes, it's nice. A lot of people mention that to me. I'm getting famous as a deaf actor. So, yes, the part that I played Joe in All My Sons, I'd never get that in the professional theatre.
I watched Craps Last Take, which was wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah, Hector in The History Boys, you know.
So, over all these years, professional and for our joy in Norwich, what has been the role that you treasure most in your memory?
I think it would be... Henry II. I played Henry II twice. Henry II in Beckett was the one where I felt it was at the Minnock. A wonderful woman called Rowena Cade carved this theatre with her gardener, the aid of her gardener, Billy Rawlins, out of a Cornish cliff, which was at the bottom of her garden. Wonderful, wonderful theatre with the backdrop of the Atlantic Ocean. And playing Henry II, it's going to sound very arrogant, but I just knew that I was good. You need that. It is not as arrogant as it sounds. You need, in a strange way, the humility of knowing that you're good, because the part is so good, the play is so good. But there was one time I was doing a matinee, and it seats about 1,000 people. And I was doing a matinee, so I very much saw the audience, and I was doing a monologue to the audience. And I noticed that none of the audience were looking at me. They were all looking to their right. And I thought, something's going on. And I looked behind me to this vast expanse of Atlantic Ocean, beautiful blue, blue sea. There was a school or a shoal of dolphins. And I just stopped along with the audience. I thought, this is ridiculous for me to carry on with the play while this tremendously moving and beautiful scene was going on. And it went on, and I just went there. There was about sort of 10, 12 of these dolphins. And at the end of it, the last one went out of sight, And I turned around and I said, as I was saying, and of course it was a tremendous round of applause, but that part, I think, is the one that I will treasure most. We were talking earlier about tricks that you develop as an actor. And one trick that I learned, I was doing Diary of a Madman by Gogol, which is just what it says. It's a diary of a young Russian clerk who becomes mad. He thinks he's the contender to be the next king of Spain. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful play. And, of course, because you're reciting the diary, you're reading the diary, then it is only you, rather like Krapp's Last Tape. It is the audience have got nothing else to look at but you. And I suddenly realised in that the power of the pause or the silence. Because if you know that there is a tremendous line coming up, then the trick is that you can pace up the previous thing and then actually stop. And you can feel that audience almost move forward to the edge of their seat. And they might be going through, has he forgotten his lines? But it's a tremendous feeling that you know, I've got you. I can do anything I like with you as an audience. I can manipulate you now. And it's a tremendous, powerful experience.
It's addictive.
Yeah, yes, it is that.
My addiction for acting comes from that moment in rehearsal when the character does enter your head and they've arrived.
Yeah.
And then from then on. But if that doesn't happen, then it's not very comfortable.
Yeah, yeah. And then, I mean, there are some things where you have to resort to what could be called trickery.
Yeah.
That, you know, the luxury of you being in the zone, in that awful modern expression, but suddenly being the character, as you said, comes rarely.
Yeah, it is true.
Rarely. It's nice that it's sort of happened 5 or 6 times, I suppose, that you just know what you're going to do. And the strange thing about that, for me personally, is that I hate taking a curtain call when that's happened. When I'm in a part that I just know, I know exactly what the character is, that whole thing that you're talking about, that he's in my head, in my heart, in my soul. I can just, when the play finishes, I just want the moment to go on, and the very fault thing of then coming out and standing in front of the audience and them applauding, it seems so false. False reaction to something that you hopefully have been very true and very honest in. Sometimes I love the applause. Sometimes yes, I was good, wasn't I? Thank you very much.
If you were to give an actor some advice, what would it be?
It would be advice that was passed on to me by another actor. And he said, what an actor needs in equal proportion is joy, adventure, and humility. And that struck a chord with me. You need the joy of what you're doing, the enjoyment of doing it, because you've got the privilege of pretending to be somebody else. You've got, you need the adventure to leap into the unknown, to leap the adventure to discover something that you hadn't normally thought of, you hadn't thought when you were preparing the part. And the humility to realize that you are privileged in giving the part. The humility of listening to the director, where you think that you've been brilliant and the director will hopefully gently say, you're giving it a bit too much there. You know, you're enjoying it too much. You need to pick it up. You need to get back to the basics. The humility of knowing that she is invariably right because she is seeing it. You know, I say she because my favourite directors have been female. They can see. I don't know whether it's whether it is the male female dynamics, but they can see what you're doing and they can suggest mould. So joy, adventure, and humility in equal proportion.
David White, David Shaw, thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Becky.
Becky was talking to actor David White, professionally known as David Shaw.